Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Xbox Mojo. My name is Thomas, and in terms of video games, this is the craziest January I can remember. And that has nothing to do with any new games releases, but much more to do with the video games industry itself. I mean, hey, you guys already know anyway, since you've seen the title of the episode, but I like to repeat it. Microsoft has agreed to acquire Activision Blizzard. Take another deep breath and let it sink in. Microsoft is going to acquire Activision Blizzard. Sounds a bit surreal, doesn't it? I couldn't believe it myself. I'm honest, and January is usually a quiet month as far as video game news goes. Last week I recorded the actual fifth Xbox Mojo episode with a special guest. It was a great conversation where we didn't talk about daily news but Xbox in general. That's why I wanted to release this episode on the 18th, 19th or 20th of January. And yeah, I was working on it. My Tuesday then looked like cleaning up my office and looking forward to January 19th when my new MacBook Pro would be delivered. Finally, a notebook with a better battery, a bigger 16-inch screen and a decent keyboard, plus much faster and with 2 terabytes of SSD storage, enough space. It will also help me produce new podcast episodes for sure. Then I couldn't decide if I should work on the new Xbox Mojo website or edit the episode, so I was so busy with work that I wasn't on social media until the afternoon. And then at 2:52 p.m. I got a direct message from a mate via Discord saying, "What's going on? Such a bold message and no news from Xbox Mojo." In doing so, he linked to an article from Xbox Wire that said Microsoft would buy Activision Blizzard. I thought he was pulling my leg. I believed in a fake psych or something, then went online to Twitter and then saw all the official news and just thought, oh my god, this is really true? I was stunned and took a few minutes or maybe hours to realize what was happening. The rest of my day was then over because I read various articles and forum posts on Twitter and tried to get some podcast guests. The latter was unsuccessful because all those I asked were already producing content themselves. And then I decided to make a short emergency episode about this news. The episode I recorded last week will probably go out next week with the note that it was recorded before the Activision Blizzard deal so that you don't wonder why we are not talking about this big announcement. Microsoft will buy Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion. There is an agreement between the two companies in this regard. The goal is for this transaction to be completed in the fiscal year 2023, which is sometime between July 2022 and June 2023. Activision Blizzard and Microsoft Gaming will continue to operate independently until this transaction is completed. So please ignore the articles and Twitter messages now accusing Microsoft of keeping Bobby Kotick, the controversial and unacceptable CEO of Activision, on board. Microsoft can only determine or replace the personnel when it is its personnel, and for that, the takeover must be completed, and that can, as just mentioned, still take 1.5 years. Listening to the press releases and statements from those involved, one might think that Kotick will be history from the moment of the official takeover. For example, the press release devoted an entire section to the topic of working conditions and inclusion, which can be seen as a dig at Bobby Kotick and his terrible management culture. Quote, "As a company, Microsoft is committed to our journey for inclusion in every aspect of gaming, among both employees and players. We deeply value individual studio cultures. We also believe that creative success and autonomy go hand in hand with treating every person with dignity and respect. We hold all teams and all leaders to this commitment. We are looking forward to extending our culture of proactive inclusion to the great teams across Activision Blizzard." End quote. Kotick himself told VentureBeat that he would help with the transition and remain CEO until then. After that, the Activision Blizzard division will report to Phil Spencer, the new CEO of Microsoft Gaming. At nearly $70 billion, oh, by the way, it's not just one of the largest acquisitions in gaming, and it's Microsoft's largest acquisition across industries. Skype cost Microsoft $8.5 billion in 2011. Nokia was purchased in 2013 for $7.2 billion. Merging and with it Minecraft cost $2.5 billion in 2014. In 2016, the career network LinkedIn was bought for $26.2 billion. GitHub was up for grabs in 2018 for $8.1 billion, and in 2021, ZeniMax Media, aka Bethesda, for $7.5 billion. And last year, Microsoft acquired Nuance Communications for $19.7 billion. The biggest takeover before that Activision Blizzard deal was LinkedIn with $26 billion, and Microsoft is spending almost $17 billion on Activision Blizzard. That's crazy, but it also shows how important gaming has become for Microsoft. Xbox is no longer a hobby. Xbox has been a hobby for Microsoft for far too long, and now the parent company is finally serious. In principle, they are acting now as they feared 20 years ago when it was said that they would enter the gaming market. This podcast is called Xbox Mojo because I wanted to follow the journey of Xbox finding their lost mojo. I was tired of reading so much misinformation in the media about Xbox, and I found the potential future after the 6 studio acquisitions in 2019 attractive. Don't forget, in 2017, Xbox had around 5 or 6 owned studios, and some saw Game Pass as the last bullet before Microsoft might even get out of gaming. And now Game Pass has 25 million subscribers, Microsoft has 24 studios, including Bethesda, and now Activision Blizzard has joined them. Or is going to join them. We are then talking about Activision Publishing, Blizzard Entertainment, Beenox, Digital Legends, High Moon Studios, Infinity Ward, King, Raven Software, Sledgehammer Games, Toys for Bob, Treyarch. Microsoft will easily have over 41 or 42 studios dedicated to gaming, depending on how you count. The goal of releasing one big AAA game per quarter is becoming more and more realistic, and neither Nintendo nor Sony have anything close to such a studio network at this point. For comparison, Microsoft had around 2,300 employees in the gaming sector in 2019, with the Bethesda acquisition adding around 2,500. Activision Blizzard alone currently has 9,500 employees, so within the 3 or 4 years you will grow from 2,300 to almost 15,000 employees. However, this purchase has little to do with PlayStation or Sony. As with the Bethesda takeover, Apple, Amazon, Google, Meta, and Tencent are the opponents. Gaming is more than just the console under the TV, which is why Microsoft is pushing Game Pass and streaming. We will soon be living in a world where subscription services will also dominate the gaming sector. There are rumors that Sony will introduce its Game Pass competitor service in the spring. Amazon is testing the waters with Luna and their MMO. Apple has Apple Arcade, and Meta is very strong in the VR space and is tinkering with the metaverse. The most important thing in times like these is exclusive content. only thanks to Marvel, Pixar and Star Wars Disney Plus could become so prominent in such a short time. That's why Netflix is investing $17 billion in new content. Everyone wants to find subscribers with great content, and more services are coming like HBO Max, Paramount Plus and so on. Nothing else is happening in gaming. The development is not new because EA Play, former known as EA Access and Ubisoft Plus have been around for a few years. But only with Game Pass did a platform holder dare to tackle this topic. 2017 was that, and since 2018 also with day one releases of their own titles. Such a subscription service is also easy to copy if you do not have exclusive brands. So a Game Pass that only relies on third-party titles with a few exclusives here and there would be doomed to fail. Netflix had this problem and then Disney suddenly pulled out their titles, but Netflix realized beforehand that they couldn't rely on these third parties alone but would need their exclusive content. At Microsoft, this realization came at the latest with the ZeniMax Bethesda takeover. As good as a new PlayStation Game Pass will be, this service will never get Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Doom, Wolfenstein, Starfield, Call of Duty, Diablo, Warcraft, Starcraft, Crash Bandicoot or Spyro the Dragon. If you want to play these titles, you have to buy them on the corresponding platforms or subscribe to Game Pass. These brands alone add a lot of value to such a service. However, the takeover makes total sense for Microsoft from another aspect because they have wholly slept through the mobile market so far. The Bethesda takeover only got a few mobile development studios and a bit more experience in the sector. Activision Blizzard also meets King Digital Entertainment, a company specializing in browser games and smartphone applications, which made a little game called Candy Crush Saga, one of the most successful mobile games of all time. They also acquired Digital Legends, another mobile games developer. Sometimes people simply forget that our beloved PC and console games are only a rather small part of the overall market, but for this one, as an Xbox user, I am of course pleased that the following brands will belong to Microsoft in the future. Blur, Caesar, Call of Duty, Candy Crush, Crash Bandicoot, Diablo, DJ Hero, Empire Earth, Gabriel Knight, Geometry Wars, Guitar Hero, Gun, Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, Hexen, Interstate 76, King's Quest, Lower Bow Miseries, The Last Vikings, Overwatch, Phantasmagoria, Pitfall, Police Quest, Prototype, Quest of Glory, Singularity, Skylanders, Soldiers of Fortune, Space Quest, Spyro the Dragon, StarCraft, Tenchu, Time Shift, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, True Crime, Warcraft, Zork. Sure, some of the stuff like Tenchu, Pitfall, Gabriel Knight, Space Quest or Caesar are only known to older gamers and there haven't been any new games from these series for a long time. With Singularity, Soldiers of Fortune, Hexen and Blur, a few insider tips could make a comeback at some point. Or how about a new Geometry Wars with HDR directly in Game Pass? In principle, however, it's all about the big titles. With Call of Duty, Microsoft snatched up the best-selling game almost every year. And with Diablo, a popular action role-playing game. Warcraft was one of the biggest brands of all for a long time. Crash Bandicoot and Spyro were PlayStation mascots long ago and will soon belong to Xbox. It's crazy how Xbox manages to buy the studios and brands that most interest me. 20 years ago, that was the case with Rare. The acquisition of Bethesda and its software was a dream come true for me, and now Blizzard brands are joining them? Crazy. World of Warcraft was one of the reasons why I used the Xbox 360 generation so sparsely, as I preferred to explore Azeroth on the Mac. For years, I've also had the tradition of watching the BlizzCon opening keynote live, sometimes buying BlizzCon passes to watch the various panels. I own multiple art books of Blizzard games, almost all World of Warcraft and StarCraft II collector's editions. The setup made me what has become of Blizzard the last few years, clearly descending branch. I remember Warcraft 3 Reforged or Diablo Immortals announcement. The last World of Warcraft add-on also did not hit as hoped. There are problems with Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 is still a long time coming. Thanks to Microsoft and Xbox, I have hope that Blizzard will get back on its feet. They won't have to make mobile games to make a quick buck. They could go back to making new games that don't have to be released until they are ready, just like in the past. Maybe there will be a Warcraft or StarCraft real-time strategy game since Microsoft has just had good experience with Age of Empires. I can also imagine that Call of Duty will no longer be an annual series in the future, let's face it, but Activision was primarily a pure Call of Duty publisher. There had to be a Call of Duty released every year, no matter the cost and even if all of their studios had to help out. Even Toys for Bob had to help out with Call of Duty by now. The developers previously made Crash Bandicoot 4, Spyro Reignited Trilogy or Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. Thanks to Warzone, it might be enough to release a new Call of Duty with a good campaign and multiplayer every 2 years or so. So the quality of the series could be increased again and not every studio has to work on it so that they could work on their own games as well. Ultimately, Microsoft wants many games for Game Pass from all genres. And I just mentioned Toys for Bob and their last games. By the way, the studio was also responsible for the Skylanders series. I still remember when Phil Spencer said that more kid-friendly games were needed last year. With Toys for Bob, you would soon have a studio with its strength precisely in this area. Skylanders reboot, Crash Bandicoot 5, New Spyro the Dragon, Banjo and Kazooie or Viva Pinata, so many possibilities would open up in the future. Or what about Beenox, most recently support studio for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered, previously worked on Crash Team Racing Remaster and Skylanders. But Microsoft would also strengthen itself in other areas. Of course, thanks to the Call of Duty developers Infinity Ward, Sledgehammer Games and Treyarch, even more first-person shooters expertise is coming in-house. This expertise will only be further strengthened as Raven Software would also be part of Microsoft. Sure, the last 10 years the studio was primarily a support studio for the Call of Duties, but I still know them from games like Singularity, Soldiers of Fortune, Star Trek Voyager, Elite Force or Hexen. How cool would it be if they could make their own game again? The possibilities are there to lead Activision and Blizzard back to their old strength, and I am firmly convinced that this can work. However, the store needs to be properly cleaned out, to put it bluntly. The state of California is suing Blizzard for systematic discrimination and sexual harassment. Since last summer, the reports have been pouring in. 37 people have since been fired in connection with the abuse allegations. Disciplinary action has been taken against 44 individuals, and more than 700 cases of misconduct have been reported to date. In November, it was revealed that a petition was submitted by 1,200 Activision Blizzard employees calling for Bobby Kotick to resign. I believe that all of these problems, including the plummeting stock price and declining numbers of monthly active users for Blizzard games, led to the publisher's sale being put on the table in the first place. Journalist Jeff Grubb reports that talks between Activision and Microsoft began in October or November 2022 as a suitable acquisition opportunity could arise for Microsoft due to the problems. Activision had no prior interest in sale. Bloomberg also reports that Microsoft saw the problems and scandals to test whether Bobby Kotick wanted to sell. Kotick tried to find another company that could overbid Microsoft. The source named Meta and another unknown larger company as candidates, but apparently these potential buyers had no interest. The board of Activision Blizzard, that is the management and control body of the company, then probably insisted on accepting Microsoft's offer to have an exit strategy. I think that the Activision Blizzard executives no longer saw a way to get out of these scandals. With the sale of Activision Blizzard, there is now the possibility of a hard reset. Replacing the leaders who have tolerated and even encouraged this toxic operating environment will certainly happen under the new ownership. The Wall Street Journal also claims to have learned that Bobby Kotick will no longer be CEO of Activision Blizzard once the acquisition is complete. I suspect this at the beginning of the podcast, and it's the only right move. In the end, it's a win-win for everyone involved in the deal. The Activision board and CEO get their exit and a lot of money. All shareholders get paid handsomely at a price that has been utopian for the last few months. Microsoft gets many studios and brands for a low price because the purchase price is still lower than the shares were worth the previous summer. And as I said, without the scandals, the board would not have wanted to sell. But Microsoft has enough cash reserves to exploit such spontaneous opportunities as well. The question remains which games will be exclusive in the future and which will not. We will only get answers to this when the takeover is completed. Until then, there will be vague statements from all sides, as we know from Bethesda. I can imagine Call of Duty staying a multi-platform, like Minecraft. Call of Duty might be too big and make too much money, and it's more of a service game anyway, thanks to Warzone. Maybe the Call of Duty titles aside from Warzone will come exclusively to Xbox and PC. In contrast, I'm convinced that almost all non-service games are coming solely to Xbox and PC. So Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, Diablo 4, the next StarCraft. And games that have not yet been released for consoles like World of Warcraft will only be available for Xbox in the future should there be plans for console ports. I would consider World of Warcraft in particular to make a lot of sense. Sure, with Elder Scrolls Online and Fallout 76, they already have their own MMORPG, but with Final Fantasy XIV, the hottest MMO is only available for PlayStation and PC. I don't know if we'll ever see an Xbox version of it, and then I would find World of Warcraft to be a successful compensation. However, what is certain is that in 2023 and forwards, every game from Activision Blizzard will end up in Game Pass day one at the latest. I currently own all the consoles, even though Nintendo and PlayStation are now used almost exclusively for exclusive titles. My Game Pass subscription runs until the end of November 2024, and for the first time since the mid-90s, I'm in a situation where I could imagine only one console being enough. Not because I would gladly do without God of War & Co., but because I would lack time to play all the games that come in the Game Pass and then still exclusively for PS5 and Switch. My Xbox backlog is already big enough, and thanks to ongoing subscriptions, Game Pass titles have priority over €18 PS5 games. In that case, I could also wait until the PS5 exclusive only costs €20 or €30 and then catch up on the games or something. I already don't know how I am going to fit Horizon Forbidden West, Triangle Strategy, Elden Ring and Gran Turismo 7 all in, and we're talking about a time where currently no Xbox exclusive game coming out. So what does that look like in 2023 with all the studios? So many games and so little time. What is striking on Twitter and forums like Resetera is that everyone now feels like an expert in antitrust law. We already noticed from the World Championships and the pandemic where everyone is suddenly a national coach or virologist. I have only completed a business degree and do not want to presume that the deal will go through in any case, but I do believe that it will. When Disney can buy Fox, the takeover of Activision Blizzard from Microsoft should not be a problem. For one thing, Microsoft won't only be number three in the gaming industry behind Sony and Tencent in terms of annual revenue. Yes, some may wonder why Tencent is so far ahead, but I already mentioned that console gaming is only part of the market. If you look at the marketplaces, you can't always look at PSN or the Nintendo eShop. Apple and Google make more sales in their stores in the gaming sector, and the Xbox and Windows Store are very small in comparison. If you look at the gaming sector as a whole, Microsoft and Xbox would still be relatively small. There is also the argument that Microsoft's strategy is not based on fixed hardware but services on various streaming devices. That means access to the content is possible via a monthly subscription. Competition exists, content is not included on the company's hardware, and the acquisition does not make the company the most significant player in any gaming area. I would be surprised if antitrust proceedings or the European Union prevents the takeover. Microsoft will probably not buy many more publishers until this becomes a problem. Because although Sony has only bought individual studios so far, I thought around 6 studios alone last year, they might take over something like Square Enix. Orders of magnitude like Activision Blizzard are impossible for Sony to implement. But either way, we'll see more acquisitions. But no wonder there were 1,100 acquisitions in the overall video game market in 2021 alone. They are not always as big as Bethesda or Zynga, of course, but they happen all the time. And I don't think Microsoft is done in this regard either. However, I believe that individual studios are in line for the time being. To expand the Xbox game studios, for example, with IO Interactive or Avalanche, maybe Microsoft can buy the Western Square Enix studios like Crystal Dynamics or Eidos Montreal. These would all be studios that would make a lot of sense for Microsoft since they are all currently working on exclusive Xbox games, except for Eidos Montreal. At least one thing is sure. It won't be boring in terms of video games, and the current console generation will probably be the most exciting in a long time. Each platform holder has its strengths and weaknesses, and Xbox is finally a real competitor. The Mojo is coming back, and I will continue to report on it. On that note, thank you for listening. That was the unscheduled special show in mid-January. Next week we'll have the regular episode with guests, which I've rescheduled. Follow me on Twitter @XboxMojo. Until next time, your Thomas.